It says, find someone or someone's behavior that's worth modeling. Find a model of real excellence. Find out their beliefs and values, their strategy or their mental syntax, and their physiology. Okay, find out what external physiology they're using. Install this in yourself. Then you could design a universal training, which is what they did with NLP. They installed it in themselves, and then they turned it into a trail of techniques, and they designed a training for it. Then you could train others in it, and you could either even train trainers in it. Okay, so these are all aspects of the modeling process. So if you wanted to train trainers, like let's say you wanted to model how to run a chiropractic office, like the best, you could go out and find the person who's got the most successful office, find out what their beliefs, values, their mental syntax, all of that, their external physiology, what all that was. You could package that, and then you could design and turn it into a trail of techniques, design a universal training, and then train other people to do it, which would just elevate the level of profession and what people are able to attain, and shorten the time span that they're able to attain that in. So this is the process of modeling. Yeah, sir. I look for similarities. Yeah, absolutely. If we were modeling five or six different people, which is what we do at Leadership, to create a single model so that you could take on the best attributes of all of them, what I would do is I would certainly look for similarities. I would also just look for I would look for individual traits and strategies that really cause them to produce the results. Like one of the things that I noticed in modeling billionaires is that many of them, money's not the number one thing in terms of their life values. Many of them, their number one thing is the game. The game. It's all about the game. Whether you look at Donald Trump, whether you look at Rupert Murdoch, whether you look at Richard Branson, it's all about the game. It's fun to them. Just the act of creation itself is fun. So that's interesting. Knowing that, that empowers you a lot because it's like, wow. So I look, there's one similarity that they have. Now they have also their own traits and attributes that make them very distinct. Like Celine Dion. When Celine Dion went out, what she does is she'll take a look at every single singer out there that's the top in the field. Her and Renee, her husband, will analyze all of the top singers in the field and look, what are they doing? What are the top singers in the field doing? And then they'll practice those things and take on those traits, skills, and attributes of the ones that are doing those things. Because think about it for a second. If you took on those things that the best people in the field were doing, wouldn't you become one of the best? Now, part of it is what we say in a training environment. Like if we were to go into a corporation, we always say pre-selection beats training every time. Pre-selection beats training every time. And we believe from an NLP perspective that any result that you want to produce, you can produce. Now, Celine Dion, like it's kind of like the Olympic athlete. There was an Olympic athlete. We were listening to a speaker, and the Olympic athlete came out. And he said, you know what? He said, so many people, they were giving him an award, and he said, so many people think I'm lucky. He said, they think that, I'm really lucky to have this gold medal. But they weren't with me every day when I was at swimming practice. He said, when they were out at the beach, I was swimming. When they were out on dates at night, I was swimming. When they were out, spending time with their family, with their friends, I was swimming. Each and every day of my life, I've been swimming. Now, Celine Dion was one person that had that drive. Her one goal in life was to be the best singer in the world. And that's been her driving force through life, has been to be the best singer in the world. And she's perfected her craft and she's worked on it. She's lucky because somebody filled in the part, because not just having the best craft is going to make you is going to make you successful. Renee, her husband, has played the part of the marketing, which is half the plan, if not 75% of the plan, that makes somebody successful. But she took the raw seed of talent that she had and she developed it into a craft that was amazing. So it's what she put into it. You know, Michael Jordan was kicked off the basketball team when he was a kid. And the basketball coach, and he went there and he practiced on his own every day until he developed that raw seed of talent, which he didn't have much of, into a major skill. So you look at Michael Jordan, he's the best basketball player of all time. You know, so it's like, wow, where did these people come from? And a lot of it, and by the way, what drove him were his macro strategies. The values and beliefs were the trigger that drove all of his behavior. Celine Dion had that strategy. Now, everybody has their own strategy. Madonna had a distinctly different strategy in rising to the top. Madonna's strategy was to do whatever it took to get to the top, which included things that I won't talk about. but she had a distinctly different strategy, you know, pushing the boundaries of everything. And she was willing to do whatever it took. She was ruthless in her rise to the top. Now, there's things that we can learn from each one. We can take on those things that we like. We don't have to take on those things that we don't like. But there's tremendous value in really modeling these people, I got to tell you. I mean, it's amazing what you can learn. So what I'll do is I'll look for similarities. I'll look for individual things that really cause them to be successful as well. And I'll take both aspects on. I'll take those similar things and I'll say, okay, I'm going to make that part of what I am. And I'm going to take those other individual characteristics or strategies and make that part of what I'm doing as well. Gandhi froze the first time. Gandhi was a trial lawyer. He was a lawyer. And when Gandhi first came out, he froze. Now, Gandhi was a very skilled communicator. If you ever hear Gandhi communicate, he was just an amazing man in terms of his communication skills. First time he froze. He was afraid to present himself, and he froze in court on his first trial. So I think that it's not necessarily the innate talent that causes somebody to be grand or to do grand things. It's the strategies that they run. What are their values and beliefs that cause them to be unwilling to accept anything less, that cause them to drive forward, that cause them to have the resistance, the resilience, the persistence, and so on and so forth through life? Once we understand their values and their beliefs, we can take those things on and model our own values after that. I know that my values have shifted tremendously after modeling, tremendously, no doubt about it. And as a result, my actions on a daily basis have shifted as well. Let's see, the key elements of modeling, it says physiology, key is breathing and posture, filter patterns, including modal operators, values, I don't like the what they've got in there, provide the emotional energy, answer why. Okay, so your meta programs, values, and your beliefs provide the trigger. They're the why behind the behaviors that you do. So we want to find out what somebody's meta programs are, their values, and their beliefs. This area is most neglected in modeling. And most people in NLP neglect this area. They just don't go into that depth. You want to find out what their enabling and their disenabling beliefs are. Because even the best of the best have their own inherent challenges. Gandhi had his own issues too. And Gandhi had issues. So we don't necessarily have to model those that are disenabling, which means that we can stand on their tall shoulders. Like Gandhi had sexual stuff. He had issues. Well, no, you don't have to go into a in-depth study of those things. You just notice the ones that, hey, this is a good strategy they use. This is a strategy that wasn't working for them, or this was a belief that they had that wasn't real effective. Yeah. Strategies, you're going to elicit them. Other points: modeling is separating what is essential from idiosyncratic. This is important. What is essential from idiosyncratic? So what we do in modeling is we do what's called a sensitivity analysis. We're going to elicit all of their strategies, and we're going to find out what's necessary for the model. Now, we can't find out what's necessary for the model until we've tried it on and we reproduce the same result. Right? Because otherwise, you may leave parts out, try it on, find you're not able to reproduce the same result, and wonder why. So what we've got to do in modeling, if we're really doing in-depth modeling, is elicit the filter patterns, all of that, the strategies, try it on ourselves, reproduce the same result, and then begin throwing pieces of it off and find out if we're still able to produce the result when we're throwing pieces off. Because some of the things that we elicit may be idiosyncratic or not necessary for the model to produce the result. For example, when they began modeling Milton Erickson in the beginning, they actually would sit in wheelchairs because they thought it might be necessary to sit in a wheelchair in order to hypnotize somebody with Ericksonian hypnosis, because that's what Erickson did. Then they found, okay, that wasn't necessary. But they did it that in depth where they would sit in wheelchairs in the beginning whenever they do Ericksonian hypnosis. So you want to really try it on and say, yes, I can produce this same result. I can do this. And then begin taking pieces off, and that's called sensitivity analysis. That's eliminating what's idiosyncratic from what's necessary to produce the result. Yeah. Step two, in modeling, may have to chunk a large behavior down into individual functions. That's just chunking, so we want to recognize the difference between getting macro strategies and micro strategies. So you may need to chunk down to get the micro strategies. Step three, then feedback. Where are they getting feedback from, and what mechanisms are, and the adjustments. Yeah. Two ways to do modeling. You can do it through imitation. We talked about that. That's how singers often do it. Do it, then model self to see how you did it. It says, two, essential to all modeling is to separate what's essential from idiosyncratic, the difference that makes the difference. Three, then consciously start dropping off pieces to find out what's essential. For example, when the Chinese dive team, Olympic divers, were going to dive, they were practicing diving and they learned it through modeling. They learned it through modeling Greg Louganis. What they did was they found videos of it because there weren't any swimming pools and diving boards in China or around where they were doing it. They just didn't have the practice. It was like they wanted to make it into the Olympics. They wanted to bring it in, but they didn't have the facilities to practice it. So they practiced in the beginning because it was all new to them. They brought in modeling and they brought in the videotapes of Greg Louganis. And the way they learned to dive was by emulating every aspect of Greg Louganis's dives. And so it was through imitation and modeling that they were able to take a country that had no dive team up to the level where they were able to compete in the Olympics. They did it through modeling Greg Louganis. Now, that was something that was very interesting. They missed part, because what they did was they missed one aspect of it. This tells you how detailed you need to be with modeling if you really want to replicate the same result. What they didn't realize was that Greg Louganis always had the... he would oftentimes find the sweet spot, what's called the sweet spot on the diving board. He would find that perfect place to do the dive. Now, oftentimes when you're diving, you may miss the sweet spot, in which case you need to internally adjust your dive after you've jumped. So you'll know whether you've hit the sweet spot or not. And that was the one aspect that they weren't able to get from the videotapes, was that the internal adjustment that he was able to do, because they didn't do cognitive modeling. They didn't find out what was happening inside his head when he did it. So just watching the physiology, they got, okay, this is how we do Greg Louganis's dive. And that brought them up to a certain level of expertise. They were able to compete based upon that alone. But the one piece that they missed was that Greg Louganis, inside of his mind and his body, based upon body awareness, was adjusting every dive based upon whether or not he hit the sweet spot of the board. Sometimes he was taking off from just behind it, or sometimes just before it. And that was the one piece that they missed that caused them not to take the gold. But they were able to compete on that level as a result of simply modeling the external physiology of Louganis, and they brought themselves up to a level where they were competing. Step three in imitation is to consciously start dropping pieces off to find out what's essential. Let's turn to page 4-8.